It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a very important day in Memphis, Tennessee, not just because the Memphis Grizzlies are hosting a game, but because of all the events surrounding it. The Phoenix Suns are in town, and there is a Grizzlies player who is close to returning for Memphis, or making his debut would be the proper way to put it. That news is broken by our very own DeMichael Cole. We're going to lead off with that next on this very important day here on Locked On Grizzlies. Let's lock in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, your team each and every day here as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Make sure you are rating, reviewing, subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. You obviously can also check us out over on YouTube, like, comment, all those fun things. Help us continue to grow Locked On Grizzlies here in the new year and beyond. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, formerly of Grizzly Bear Blues, now of SB Nation NBA and FanSided and all sorts of fun places. And I'm joined by the real star of the show, Mr. DeMichael Cole, the current beat writer and hopefully longtime beat writer because he's excellent at his job. Over at the Commercial Appeal, covering the Memphis Grizzlies. It's a big day in Memphis, DeMichael. We'll talk more about that later in the show. But first off, how are you doing, good sir?
I'm great. I am doing great. It's a wonderful time to be covering the NBA. It's a wonderful time to be covering the Grizzlies, right? I mean, John Morant has been the talk of the league over the past
dunking
couple
on people.
Days. And, you know, in that photo, I saw a photo of the dunk, right? Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because now you actually have a catalog where it's Kevin Love, Malik Beasley, Aaron Baines, Jakob Poeltl. You could just put like a 5-piece catalog in your room now, Grizzlies fans, of like Ja Morant posters. It's pretty wild. But you know what, Joe? Things are great. It's MLK Day, one of my favorite times of the year. I was one of those kids who had to constantly recite that I have a dream speech. So I know it pretty well, but, you know, just for things bigger than that as well. You know, of course, the history is very close, you know, to some of us as well. I mean, you know, I got a chance to see a few of the Memphis 13 people recently who were elementary school kids who were 5 or 6 years old 61 years ago. And they're only 66 or so now. And I have, you know, parents, grandparents who tell me so much. And it's like, when I hear it from them, it's like, these are people who directly impact my life, who, you know, one wrong move or one wrong look here or there, and their lives could have been drastically different. So all in all, we're grateful for the work of Dr. King, but we'll talk more about that as well. You know what else?
Absolutely.
We're grateful to talk about, you know, just the latest injury news on the Grizzlies, because if you remember, Joe, there was a time where this injury report was stuffed.
Very
now,
long. Yes.
Guys are kind of getting back.
Guys are coming back.
The latest, Danny Green, Joe.
As reported by our DeMichael Cole. Now, understandably, it was the Commercial Appeal's DeMichael Cole. I'll admit I was a little bit jealous that it didn't say Locked On Grizzlies DeMichael Cole, but I get it. I get it. I just live vicariously through you, my partner. You did a wonderful job on that news piece. And that is a very important piece of business for the Memphis Grizzlies, because as we enter trade season, and if everybody remembers, I'm very much that they're not going to make a trade for the first time ever. It makes it hard for me to write and talk about the Grizzlies because all I want to do is talk about trades. I'm trying to be disciplined, DeMichael. It's like a chocolate pie.
Hang in there, Joe, I'm trying not to eat it.
I genuinely don't think they're going to make a trade, and I know we'll talk more about that here in a moment. Mm-hmm. But first off, Danny Green's health, for those that didn't check out the article over at commercialappeal.com, please make sure you do so. It's fantastic. But it's a wonderful update. All of DeMichael's work is great. But if you could, just briefly for our listeners and viewers, a bit of an update on where Danny Green is at in terms of his rehab from his knee injury.
So the big news here is that Danny Green has progressed in the last week to 5-on-5 basketball activity. And why is that important? Well, if you've been familiar with any of the updates that we've given on the other players who are out for prolonged periods of time, you remember when Jaren Jackson Jr. moved to 5-on-5, it was the next week that he was back. Desmond Bane, kind of in similar fashion, moved up, and he was back, you know, very soon thereafter. And some of the other guys as well, Zaire Williams, Brandon Clark. After our last episode of Locked On Grizzlies, I learned that he had moved up to 5-on-5, and we saw he returned against the Pacers. So that 5-on-5 is a big barometer when it turns to guys getting back to playing. But I will say with Danny Green, it may be a little bit different than those guys because this is a torn ACL, for a vet, you know, 35-year-old guy, I believe he is, at this point of his career.
Thank you for the record for not saying an older person, because I too am 35. I'm the same age as Danny Green. Well, that would have cut through me. So good job saying a vet.
He's a vet. You're a vet, Joe.
I am a vet. I am a vet at this point. You're right.
You've been doing this since the grit and grind and all the way back. I mean, you're a vet, Joe. But but that's what I refer to Danny Green as. And the reason I refer to him in that way, Joe, is because he can still make an impact. Now, the thing about this return to play protocol, before we get to the impact part, I want to mention that, you know, it may be a little bit longer. You remember Danny Green himself said his goal was to get back before the All-Star break. Well, guess what? They started him in some individuals not too long ago. He's always been around the team, but then he moved up to 3-on-3 at about 2-3 weeks ago. So if you look at the time span of where they're moving him up, 3-on-3, 2-3 weeks ago, and then a couple weeks later he goes up to 5-on-5, it makes me think within the next couple weeks we may see, you know, Danny Green make his debut. But then that begs the question, what type of debut are we seeing Danny Green make, Joe? Is it going to be with the Grizzlies? Is he just going to be sitting on the bench with no injury designation? Or is he going to be trade bait?
This is going to surprise you, DeMichael, because you have been paying attention to me, hopefully, as we've been co-hosts here on Locked On Grizzlies for a while, and you've been following what I've been talking about here on this show and elsewhere. I think they need to find out what they have in Danny Green, personally. You need to know whether or not he can still play. I don't think that they're going to make a trade, so keeping him out for the mystery of letting someone else find out if he can still play is not really in their, you know, wheelhouse. And right, Danny Green has a championship pedigree, right? He has been three around times. Championship teams, right? And he is very well aware of what it takes to be in that spot. The Grizzlies, as we've talked about before, don't have a veteran presence. Aside from, you know, Steven Adams, Dylan Brooks has played a lot of basketball. But again, I think Dylan's 26. Steven Adams is still 28 somehow. It seems like he's been in the league forever. But the point is they need a guy like Danny Green, in my opinion, if they're truly going to be a championship contender. I mean, he has to play a ton, but they need him to be active. I would insert him, obviously, where the rookies are. It makes a lot of sense. But even when the rotation is healthy, you know, you got Tyus Jones, Zaire Williams, Brandon Clark, where are these guys going to fit? And I think that Danny Green needs to get some John Conchar minutes. I think that that's where he needs to slide in, even if it's just 10 minutes a night, to see if he can physically still be that 3-and-D wing, that guy that can hit a three in the corner. I think he was a 37% shooter last season before the injury. Obviously, Memphis could always use three-point shooting. So that's where I see him kind of sliding in as an end-of-the-rotation guy. It's possible Conchar is better than him. We don't know what we have in Danny Green, but the only way you're going to find out is if you play him, and he's got to play for somebody.
Joe, we pretty much agree on this, but I think the thing about it is you think about torn ACLs when you get to, you know, the latter part of your NBA career. People like to say, oh, you know, he may be slower than he was. You think your ACL, more than anything, it affects your lateral movement. Danny Green has always been known as a plus defender because he's able to guard those smaller guards, or he's able to, you know, guard those quick two guards, quick three guards.
Would be valuable for this Grizzlies team when comparing it to John Conchar. No offense to John Conchar. Yeah. Even if you want to be optimistic about what he brings to the table, which is solid three-point shooting when he shoots and very good rebounding, defense is not what you think of. Defense is very much what you think of with a healthy and active Danny Green.
And that's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, we're talking about John Conchar or Danny Green where you're making this choice. You've been watching Zaire Williams play lately. You know his spot is signed, sealed, and delivered.
As predicted here on Locked On Grizzlies. We told y'all to chill. Hopefully you listen.
He ain't going anywhere. On the other end, John Conchar, we talk about it. Some games he shoots more. Some games he shoots less. Well, guess what? With Danny Green, you're not going to have that problem. Just going to run through some numbers here. Last season, 4.4 three-point attempts per game in 21 and a half minutes.
Wow.
4.4 three-point attempts per game in 21 and a half minutes. By the way, that was his lowest minutes played since his second year. A lot of people may not know this, but Danny Green has started every season since 2011 up until last season where he finally started to come off the bench, and that was just for half of the season. Mm-hmm. So this isn't a guy who we're talking about is a regular guy, you know, who's coming off the bench. But overall, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. 40% three-point shooting on a 4.8 three-point attempts per game over the course of his career. And maybe one of my favorite stats of this all is he has made over 1,500 three-pointers in his career. That would be the Grizzlies franchise record if he played, you know, in Memphis for his entire career. Overall, 3-and-D, you never get enough of that, right? And John Conchar, that's kind of what you want from him in his role with the Grizzlies. Danny Green has already proven himself to be that type of guy. It's all going to come down to his lateral agility. Here's one little note that I want to add as well. The Grizzlies, they're not familiar with pre-injury Danny Green as much as if he was still in Philadelphia. They would have a better eye for how to determine, oh, yeah, he's 100%. Oh, he's better than he was before the ACL. So I was asking Taylor Jenkins about that. He gave me an interesting response. And what the Grizzlies have done is they've really zeroed in on Sixers film of Danny Green and kind of compared it to where he is now to try to get the best feel for when they feel like he's moving great laterally and things like that. But one thing for sure, they're extremely confident in the knee. Everyone's confident. Danny's confident. The team's confident. And it's only a matter of time. And we both seem like we're on the page that he'll make an impact.
You got to find out what you got for him. And you got to find, or excuse me, you got to find out what you have in him before you make any possible trade decision. And I think the Grizzlies would rather not make such a deal. One thing that we do know is Danny Green is not going to be playing today in Memphis against the Phoenix Suns on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but we do know the Grizzlies will be playing as they have almost, I believe, since their inception.
Yeah, 21st annual. Yep, 21st annual. Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk more about the significance of that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Prize Picks. I got to tell you, if John Morant plays, he's questionable for this game, and we'll, again, questionable, but I'll get to that in a second. Whatever the points are, you're on national television, he's going to score more than that. That would be my pick on Prize Picks. Steven Adams probably going to grab more than 9.5 rebounds, something along like that. Those lines, Jaren Jackson Jr., more than 2.5 blocks. Desmond Bane, more than 3.5 threes. There's a lot going on for this Grizzlies team as they take the national stage against a wounded Phoenix team. Prize Picks can be a place where you take advantage of that. You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against other people. It's you against the projections that are available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch, from the NBA and NFL to the WNBA, tennis, disc golf, cricket, literally everything. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy, with safe and fast withdrawals that are currently operational in over 30 states as well as Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Some thoughts on the significance of this day in Memphis and for the Grizzlies next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am one of your hosts, Joe Mullinax, joined by the wonderful, the incomparable DeMichael Cole of the Memphis Commercial Appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. He will be in person for all the festivities today covering the Memphis Grizzlies. And again, I say all the festivities because, as DeMichael knows, and I'm sure he'll detail a little bit here for us, it's not just the game and it's not just a game for the Grizzlies on MLK Day. Obviously, the significance of Atlanta, Georgia, for those of you maybe that aren't historians, obviously Dr. King, major connections to the city of Atlanta. Of course, the major connection to the city of Memphis, the place where he was unfortunately assassinated. There's the Lorraine Motel, which is now the National Civil Rights Museum. And they do a great job in connection with the Grizzlies on the symposium that I know you'll talk about here in a little bit. They honor various Black athletes and other people that have made impacts in sports. They really do a tremendous job in Memphis covering this day that is so important for a variety of reasons to the history of our country. I've said in the past, you know, writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues and elsewhere, it's my favorite day of the season to cover the team because they represent the city so well. Obviously, the team is important. You want them to win. But the Grizzlies were originally brought to Memphis, for first things first, to help the city. And I think that this is the brightest, most shining example of that in this day.
Yeah, the Grizzlies do a great job of, you know, just promoting MLK's message. And it's to the point where the players themselves, I think this week, talking to the players, they learn a lot about MLK's, you know, his meaning, you know, what he stood for, what's changed, more so than just, you know, watching a movie or hearing about the I Have a Dream speech or, you know, things like that. So I was talking to Xavier Tillman, right? Talking to Xavier Tillman, and he was basically telling me, look, growing up, he didn't know too much about, you know, MLK's impact. He knew that on those Mondays in January, he would get out of school. Then, you know, you talk to some of the other players as well. I'm talking to Zaire Williams, and it's a completely different perspective, right? It's him saying, hey, look, maybe not as much in Southern California, not in school. You know, we throw on a movie, and that was that. But his parents made him write essays and you know, made him write about civil rights leaders and things like that. So that's where more of his education came from. But, you know, you've seen now the players went to Springdale Elementary School earlier this last week on, I believe it was Thursday or Friday. And Springdale Elementary is one of the, I think, four elementary schools in Memphis that's still around that was integrated, you know, in the early 1960s, I believe it was. And, you know, again, I mentioned earlier that we got a chance to meet, you know, some of the Memphis 13 who were there. And, you know, the players talked about, you know, just how impactful that was. Right. But it's the service. The service is something that they look forward to. They were at the school, you know, donated some items to Springdale Elementary. I think you had John Morant, Desmond Bane filling up backpacks with school supplies and things like that. You had Jaren Jackson Jr. writing messages to the kids. Basically, you know, his favorite message he said was, you are enough. Wrote that down to the kids. You had Steven Adams painting, Tyus Jones painting, doing some canvas things and all that. So, but getting back to the symposium, right? This year, the honorees and, you know, over the course, you would probably know better than me because you've covered a lot of these over the course of history. But I mean, the symposium, the, you know, the annual National Civil Rights Museum Sports Legacy Award is what we're referring to. Some of the biggest athletes have been honored over the course of history. I mean, most notably, arguably, is Bill Russell, you know, being one of those faces who was honored in the early 2000s when Hubie Brown and those Grizzlies teams were around. But this year's honorees, Gary Payton, Luol Deng, Nancy Lieberman, and Eddie George will receive the 18th Annual National Civil Rights Museum Sports Legacy Award. So a lot of people will be down in Memphis. I think Cheryl Miller is an honoree for a separate thing as well. I think Mark Spears of ESPN's Anscape, he'll be here kind of leading kind of a panel, a conversation as well. So it's a big week in Memphis, but it's a big education thing that's going to go on before the game as well. And then the game just tops it off, Joe.
I think that my favorite thing about it, because again, in my day job, I'm a history teacher, as in addition to a football coach, and, you know, learning about the impact of Dr. King, both in high school and in college, you know, they teach you about the stuff beyond the I Have a Dream speech, right? And I don't mean that as disrespectful in any way. I mean that as in, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you can say in that speech that it's almost like statistics in a way, right? Where you can twist it and turn it. And there's all sorts of different people, and you don't listen to this for politics. So I'm not going down that hole either. But you can turn the words in a lot of different ways if you so choose. If you actually study the efforts of Dr. King, you know, the actual idea of the nonviolent protest, you know, the letter from the Birmingham jail, you read the things that he talked about, not just about, you know, equality among the races, but equality among people and economic issues and all sorts of other things that the NBA and the Memphis Grizzlies don't shy away from, especially the Grizzlies, you know, listening to the symposiums over the years. It's like the rest of the NBA covering this day is the video that you mentioned. Again, the NBA does a great job. I don't mean that as disrespect. I'm trying to compliment the Grizzlies in that they're the ones that are the college class. They're giving you the full spectrum of what the King experience was. And, you know, we're all flawed individuals. Dr. King was no different. Again, as a student of history, you can learn that if you so choose. But the thing about the way that this is honored today is it really highlights what was so important in terms of his legacy, the idea of a better life for all, an opportunity for all. And the city of Memphis is a place that has its own flaws as well. It's not a perfect place by any stretch of the imagination, but the people that live there love it. They are committed to trying to make it better. I was fortunate enough to experience that myself the few years I was there in Memphis, Tennessee. And it, you know, I still do this almost a decade later because it stuck with me that much, the way that the people of Memphis continue to try to achieve that dream. Not just the one from the one speech he gave in Washington, D.C., but the one that is the consummate amount of his work and his life's work and his efforts, his legacy is bigger than the one speech that everybody will quote today. So my challenge to everybody, in addition to all the Locked On podcasts you should be listening to, is do a little bit of additional research. Read that letter from Birmingham Jail. Go and see a lot of what he did in terms of his life beyond what the video would have shown you in high school. You'll be better for it. So long live the dream, long live the great scope, not just the one individual event of that dream. And I'm proud to be a part of the coverage of it, even in this small role. And I know DeMichael's going to do a great job in his larger role later on today. Speaking of later on today, there's a basketball game. We're going to talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. But first, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Built Bar. I know DeMichael's a big fan of Built Bar. I, too, am a big fan of Built Bar. If you want a delicious treat without all the fat and calories, you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know you're like me, and your goal is to try to eat a little bit healthier. You don't want to compromise taste. That's no fun. You got to be able to live it up a little bit, right? If you want to live it up like me, you got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're delicious. What makes them so good? They're covered in 100% real chocolate, And then on top of that, they come in amazing flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not quite sure how they do this, DeMichael. It's like a candy bar while maintaining 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't have to wait around to go get a box. You can take yourself down before the game today and get yourself a Built Bar at a local Walmart or Sam's Club. And you can obviously order them over at Built.com. That's right. Walmart, walk to the pharmacy section, get yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or even the coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, you can get a 13-bar box with the hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. Make sure you go check out Built Bar, and you can thank me and DeMichael later. We'll talk Grizzly Suns next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. We're wrapping up our show today. DeMichael Cole, very busy day for him today on MLK Junior Day, but an important day, as we mentioned earlier in the program. I am your co-host, Joe Monax. And there is a basketball game, which I no disrespect to the Suns, regardless of the opponent. I genuinely feel that the game is less important than everything else the Grizzlies do. But there is a basketball game that's the main event. And unfortunately for the Phoenix Suns, as the Memphis Grizzlies get healthier, again, as we mentioned earlier, John Morant's questionable. I would imagine he'll play. John Conchar, questionable with a non-COVID illness, excuse me. That maybe is a little less likely to play. I know he didn't play in Indiana on Saturday, which must have been a bummer because he is from Indiana, of course. I believe he had a large crowd of folks there. So anyway, the Phoenix Suns injury report is long and distinguished, headlined by Devin Booker and Chris Paul, but it goes beyond that. Literally, 3/5 of their starting lineup is out. Only Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton will be taking the floor at FedEx Forum. The Grizzlies should win this game pretty decisively if they handle their business, DeMichael, assuming John Morant plays. But even if John Morant doesn't play, they're still healthier than the Suns are.
Much, much healthier. Even if, you know, he doesn't play, they should still be heavy favorites in this one. And, you know, the Suns have a couple players. But if you go back to – you've seen these two teams play two times in recently, right? You go back to right before Christmas, December 23rd, first game that Desmond Bane's back, right? And the Suns get blown out at home by the Grizzlies. Desmond Bane's back. And, I mean, the Grizzlies, it was like, okay, this is how they're going to look. And then – a couple days later, after the Christmas loss, mind you, the Grizzlies took the floor again against a shorthanded Suns team that was now multiple starters, and the Suns beat them 125-108 at home. Grizzlies only have three home losses this season, and one of them was that game. So those, you know, that last meeting, I think, you think the Grizzlies aren't going to be thinking about that, Joe? 125, 108 to an undermanned team that didn't have Devin Booker, you know, didn't have Cameron Johnson. You think they're not going to be thinking about that? Oh, they're going to come out. They're going to come out with that energy. One guy who I know is going to be thinking about it is Dylan Brooks, who, by the way, will be back in the lineup after, you know, missing the one game with right ankle soreness. So he'll be back. You saw how he looked on the bench against the Pacers. That guy looked like he's – let's just put it like this. He looked like a guy who didn't agree with the decision for him to not play in that game. But I think, as we said, you know, the Grizzlies, 9-game win streak, playing really solid basketball. You know, they're not beating the top tier, you know, best for best, pound for pound teams at their, you know, best strength right now. You know, you can make an argument that the Suns are a top tier Western Conference team overall, but not at this rate. I mean, they look like a bottom tier team. The Suns have lost, I think, 8 of 9 games.
They have a losing record right now.
Yeah, they have a losing record right now. And I mean, in mid-early December, they were top two, top three, right up there with the Grizzlies in that stretch. So they're struggling. This is a great chance for the Grizzlies, once again, to continue to, you know, beat up on these wounded teams because they're on your schedule. You don't show sympathy. You don't, let's ease up on them. Devin Booker's not playing. Oh, no. You got to beat them down because guess what? No one's going to feel sorry for you either. Great opportunity for the Grizzlies kind of to keep the show going and get this win streak potentially to 10 games.
The Phoenix Suns are the team that we have talked about on here before, DeMichael, you know, as closely packed as the Western Conference was a month ago, and it still is to an extent, but the Nuggets and the Grizzlies have separated themselves a bit. I think Denver and Memphis are like 3 or 4 games ahead of everybody else at this stage. But, you know, the third and fourth seed to the play-in, it's like a 2 or 3 game difference. Yeah. So it was like that all the way across a month ago. And we talked about, you know, Memphis, they go on a losing streak. They could be on the outside looking in at the play-in. And that's what's happened to Phoenix, largely because of the injury issues, especially to Devin Booker. But losing Chris Paul doesn't help either. I think Campaign is out as well. Yeah. So they're essentially on their third point guard. I'm curious to see how Jaren Jackson Jr. plays in this game, DeMichael, because, again, you know, Ayton's going to be there. He's going to have to body with Adams, you'd imagine. Seeing Jaren Jackson Jr. remember that he's 6'11", 240 some pounds, they don't really have, I think it'll probably be Dario Saric, will probably be the guy that draws the matchup with Jaren. No disrespect to Dario, I don't think he can handle what Jaren Jackson Jr. brings to the table at this stage of his career. Saric has had his own injury issues. He's a little bit older, I believe. He's a good overall player, but Jaren Jackson Jr. is just playing on a different level now. I don't know if you know this or not, DeMichael, but according to Cleaning the Glass, we've talked a lot about Dylan Brooks being the very best guy in terms of winning for Memphis, the point differential, the net rating being the best for Dylan all season long. That's no longer the case. Jaren Jackson Jr. is now number one on the team. Dylan's still, you know, plus 9.6. That's extremely good. Jaren's at plus 10.4. The Grizzlies' defense is 8 points better when Jaren Jackson Jr. is on the floor. He is just a tremendously impactful player, and his offense is helping as well. The Grizzlies' offense is plus 2.4 points better per 100 possessions with Jaren on the floor. So pound for pound, as has always been his potential on both sides, Jaren Jackson Jr. is the best two-way player on the Memphis Grizzlies, and I'm curious to see how he handles this matchup. It's one that he should dominate.
You just made a perfect point that I think kind of alludes to what happened in those first two matchups. First game against the Suns, Torrey Craig got the start at power forward, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And Jaren Jackson Jr., double-double. I think he had 20-plus points, 10-plus boards, and they couldn't do anything with him. Offensive boards, just all-around game. And this was in the blowout win in Phoenix. Well, you know what the Suns did the second time around? They adjusted, moved Jock Landale to the starting lineup last game.
You're right.
And Jaren struggled. He struggled. This was after that Warriors game. Jaren struggled. And, you know, people are familiar with me talking about it on here. I thought the next step in the evolution, and it's kind of like picking hairs, right? Because we're seeing Jaren be more forceful and aggressive. And I said, okay, now that we're seeing that more, now do it against the big guys. You know, we're seeing him take advantage of, you know, those 6'7", you know, really guys that really play small forward, but they play these small balls teams. Okay, he's doing against those guys. Now pick on someone your own size, right? And then I think the Magic game, right, against Paolo Banchero, in that game, it's a 6'10 guy, pretty strong for his size, 250 pounds, I believe he is. And Jaren, you know, kind of had his way with that matchup. So I think that's a great point. You want to see Jaren Jackson Jr. kind of be forceful, no matter who the matchup is. If the Suns say, hey, we're going to put Dario Saric or Jock Landale or DeAndre Ayton on him, that should not change his aggressiveness when it comes to, you know, being an inside factor.
You're exactly right. Physicality is the name of the game when it comes to Jaren Jackson Jr. If John Morant plays, we know he sure as hell is going to be physical. Desmond Bane looks like he's getting back into form.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Dylan Brooks, as you mentioned, not on the injury report. He will be active and available for this game. Same thing with Steven Adams. The Grizzlies should run away with this front one on national television. But as you and I unfortunately know, whenever the Grizzlies are on national TV,
you never know.
You never know who's going to show up. Hopefully they show up the way that they are more than capable of showing up and picking up another big win. Professional wins matter in the Western Conference. Even though Phoenix, I think, will bounce back as they get healthy, right now beating the Suns is a professional win, one that the Grizzlies need to keep pace with the Nuggets. Thanks for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen today. Now make your second listen, Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result, Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. The next time we're together here on Locked On Grizzlies, DeMichael and I will be together once again. That's one of the nice things about this MLK Day game today, DeMichael. A little bit earlier start, which your boy on the East Coast loves those early starts.
Yeah, yeah.
So DeMichael and I will be back together to be able to break down the game, talk about the experience that DeMichael had. Again, he's going to symposium and all those different things. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll be able to start looking ahead to a road trip for the Grizzlies that DeMichael will also essentially be embarking on with the team. That's coming up here soon, I know. So we can start looking ahead to that. Obviously, everything in between before that comes, we can look at. But a lot of things we'll be able to discuss on our next episode, DeMichael.
A lot of things. One of the things that I'm looking forward to discussing the most is the conversation. Here comes the good part. I think that's the theme after this game. Once the Grizzlies potentially, now, because sometimes we don't know, they potentially take care of business, get their 10th win in a row. Here comes the good part, because you got the Cavs who are getting back healthy.
Right.
And then you got a Western Conference. Last time we saw them go on a road trip, it wasn't pretty, bro. It wasn't pretty. And you know what? They're playing good basketball. Everyone's healthy. This is what I've been waiting on, right? You want to show – this is the time you show the people around, you know, the people who aren't in Memphis every day or watching the Grizzlies every day and covering the Grizzlies, all that, and the fan base. This is the time that you show those people on the West Coast, the people on the East Coast, you know what? The Grizzlies are the real deal. They're not just beating up on lesser opponents. They're not just, you know, surviving in the Western Conference and dominating the Eastern Conference. You know what? You said – what did he say? He said they're fine in the West. You got a 5-game road trip coming up where the team will potentially be healthy. Show you're fine in the West.
They have the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday night, and then that is exactly where they head. They head out West, and they'll get to visit with LeBron, and I think they'll get to see all sorts of fun folks coming up. So lots of good things to talk about on the next episode and beyond here on Locked On Grizzlies. Continue to stay with us. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Like and comment on YouTube. DeMichael and I really appreciate all that you guys do for making us a piece of your NBA puzzle. Continue to do so. Continue to help us grow and develop Locked On Grizzlies and make it the best show on the Locked On Podcast Network, which is a lofty goal. There's so many tremendously talented people, so many wonderful shows. Hopefully you're checking out more than just Locked On Grizzlies, but continue to make us first. Pretty, pretty please. For DeMichael Cole, my wonderful co-host, enjoy the game and all the events today, my friend. I'm Joe Mullinax. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Till next time, stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.